The next two short episodes, or podcastettes, as I like to think of them as, of Grey Street Journal, were recorded at the house of Green Man Compassion. Green Man and his Green Lady operate a compassion club in East Anglia, currently helping around 200 patients with often life-saving cannabis medication for free. I'm welcomed into their home with children happily playing, dogs lounging in the shade. Even the garden is a hive of activity, with butterflies and bees populating the various flowers and vegetables thriving in the English summer. Green Man has the glow of a man that is content with his life. After a quick peek at the grow operation, we settle in for a chat, and before long, we're touching on some darker times in the Green Man's past. And just another reminder that you can leave us comments, feedback, guests you'd like to see, questions for myself or my guests. All of that you can do from within the Anchor podcast app. You just download it to your smartphone, head over to the Grow Street Journal podcast, and you can leave us a message there.
How long were you in prison for?
Well, as I say, it was more jail than prison. It was
What's the difference between jail and prison?
Well, it's America, isn't it? So, like, over here, you just get put on remand. Yeah, so when if you get in America, when you get put on remand, that's called jail. And you're in jail until your court date. And when you go to court, they convict you. You go to prison. So I was in jail, which is at the police station.
Oh, okay.
Getting ready for my court cases and all that lot. And so it just took a while. So I was only inside for 6.5 months. Wow.
So I was. Oh, geez, that's still a while.
Yeah, well, especially in jail. Like, you have more freedom in prison, don't you? You have exercise yards, and in jail, you're literally at a police station. Yeah. So it was literally.
Is there a limit to how long they're allowed you to hold you?
I saw some people in there for, some people who go into death row from there, so they keep them in there for a while. They haven't got time to. Court system's pretty busy. I was down south too, which is never a good thing, but. Yeah, so I was smuggling cannabis from Mexico to LA and from LA down south because the prices were different. I could make a bit of money on top. And they tried to do me for selling cocaine. So I'd actually sold the DAA agent talcum powder. So like 6-7 kilos of talcum powder on the first occasion. Then a bunch more on the second occasion. So yeah, they did me for that, thinking they were going to get me for drug smuggling. So it took them a long time. They were pissed off, I guess. It took them a long time to test the drugs. And
so the guy that bought it, like, how long had he been cultivating a relationship with you?
Oh, for ages, yeah. He had bought loads of weed off me first, and yeah, for about a year.
A year?
Yeah. Yeah, no, wow. They did me up like a kipper. They did a really good job. And had it been coke, I'd still be in state penitentiary now, but I was fortunate, I guess.
So you're shifting bud, and he was trying to.
Lucky for me, he wasn't interested in weed. He wanted me on cocaine charges, which, I was doing a lot of cocaine. I've always partaked in a little bit here and there, but I wasn't. My motto was, don't sell anything that could kill someone, I guess. And if people can get him, be a bit silly with cocaine, that's up to them. But I didn't want to take any part in that, so
yeah.
I always thought bud was safe, so. Yeah, so it took him a long time to test it, and then I finally got out, came back to this country and fought.
So you escaped going into the proper prison?
Yes, yeah. No, they gave me time, because it's still illegal to sell an undercover DEA agent fake drugs. I don't know why. I forget the name of the law, the name of the law they actually convicted me for, but they just gave me time served, basically, the 6.5 months that I'd already done.
Right.
Gone down for the rest of my life.
Jeez. Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best,
best
scam you've got to pull on anyone ever there, like.
I made a lot of money out of him. I wish I had that money now. But that's why I say, people, sometimes you just have to, count your blessings. I might not have any money, I might be destitutely poor, living in the south of England, but I'm happy. My family are happy, my children are happy. I smoke a lot of weed, so.
It's not a good life.
So. Yeah, it's not bad, And we try and help as many people as we can. We're not able to help everybody. We're helping around about 200 people at the moment, all in all, in different ways. Some people, as little as a bag of leaves, because they've heard juicing cannabis is the way to go, and they want to try that. And some people want full extract cannabis oil, because they've heard Rick Simpson's been saving the world with this fabulous oil. A lot of people are happy with coconut butter capsules. A lot of people want edibles. A lot of people just want jars of coconut butter to make their own edibles. So, yeah. It's not a one-size-fits-all arrangement with cannabis. Everybody seems to want different things. A lot of people want raw herb, which seems to be a bit contentious these days. What is medicine and what's not?
Yeah. Not considered by the government in their recent announcement.
I've read it a couple times now, and I'm not too sure they've completely ruled it out. I think their wording has been very specific, and I still think they're leaving the possibility. I'm not saying it will be allowed. I'm sure it won't be for a little while yet.
Yeah.
Just out of fear.
Oh, 100% it's not going to be allowed. Like, you can see the exact narrative they followed as soon as the event broke with Billy. You know, it's all been the medicinal strictest side of it, with always still hovering around the dangers of the psychosis, which, you know, when I talked to Dr. Frank, he said he was quoted a study that he'd seen, which was around 1 in 70,000 that could affect, and those are people already with pre-existing mental conditions.
If I'm honest, I'm surprised at that. If I'm honest,
yeah.
I would personally say, again, I'm not a doctor, but I'm still surprised that even that ratio. I'm not too sure cannabis causes anything. But then you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know.
But so they're not rescheduling cannabis, are they? They're rescheduling certain cannabis-derived products. So that obviously it's yet to be determined what those products are going to be, but I think Sativex is probably a safe bet. Bedrocan would be actually amazing, because that's... they're a Dutch company, aren't they? They make, I think, the raw herb.
Yeah, they do what they call a floss. Which is 22%. Well, they do a few different types, actually. But their main one, Bedrocan, is 22% THC. I'm pretty sure it's as close as you can get to skunk number one in a pot, really. Which is the same as Sativex, really. Sativex is, again, skunk number one, but it's got more CBD in it, so it's a one-to-one. But yeah, I mean, if they allow Bedrocan, then... you would hope that we would be able to push for raw herb within a year, maybe two.
Yeah. I tell you what, if they don't do that, and they just go for Sativex, then really we're no different to where we were in 2014, so 4 years ago.
Absolutely.
Sativex had just been approved on NHS Wales, and then the National Institute for the Care of Excellence recommended not to use it because it was too expensive.
I think Wales approved it, haven't they? And I've heard of some people getting...
People have had access to it, haven't they? But it's...
Yeah, the Welsh Assembly have devolved powers, from what I read, and they were able to approve the Sativex. So a few people have had it, but it's just not really good enough, I don't think.
Have any of your patients tried it or got access to it?
Not anybody I personally have dealings with, but a guy I know online on Facebook has written to me and has shown me the bottle and the instruction that comes with the bottle, and he's just not had any luck with it. He's a multiple sclerosis patient, and no, raw herb and even rosin at times he draws to, you know, just for an instantaneous, immediate hit.
Oh. Doggies are out.
So yeah, it all depends on the individual when it comes to what medication they require, not the government, I think.
Yeah.
I think the time people went to the GP and said, "I'm ill, give me something," that's over now. We've got the internet now. We can have a look at what we want to try. And a lot of people are turning to cannabis. And it's not up to the government what type of cannabis we try and how we have it. And, you know, it's up to the individual to have responsibility for their own actions. Not everybody does. And for those people, we need to offer them help. Just like we offer alcoholics help. Just like we're now offering people who are addicted to nicotine help. You know, if you're addicted to cannabis at the moment, you're not offered any help. You know, if you've got a stronger drug addiction, you might be able to get help on the NHS at the moment, but I would imagine it's hit and miss. But there's nothing out there for somebody who has an addiction to cannabis. It's not as bad as an addiction as you could have to, say, a dangerous drug like alcohol. Everybody's seen that guy who is addicted to alcohol, the alcoholic sitting on, you know, the park bench sometimes. Now, there's a lot of people who smoke that amount of cannabis, but they're not that way inclined. They can still function. They can still, you know, no one spots a cannabis addict straight away. You know, but they exist and they need just as much help as anybody else does in society. But at the moment, it's non-existent because the funding's not there.
Mm.
That always comes down to legalization.
Yeah.
You know, if legalized, the herb could stop costing us so much money and bring us in a little bit. That would be great.
Yeah, and as we spoke about earlier, right, like the immediate thing that needs to happen is testing facilities, effective, low-cost, accessible testing facilities for not just cannabis but all drugs.
Absolutely.
Even if they're going to remain illegal for now, they need to be those safe zones where people can just test the drugs, just from a harm reduction point of view.
Absolutely. Especially when it comes to cannabis. I mean, all drugs, you need to be able to test for purity and strength. Just off the bat. Cocaine, ecstasy, and cannabis. But with cannabis, you need to do a few more tests, I think, to make sure that it's safe. Just the cannabinoid test in its own isn't far enough. I think you need to check for pesticides. Pesticides is a really interesting one to look at, actually, because if there is pesticides in your cannabis flower and you extract that, you're extracting those pesticides as well and the nasty chemicals you don't want. So testing in general is very important in the cannabis industry, but not just cannabinoids. Cannabinoids are very important, but residual alcohol testing for your feco oil and heavy metal testing they've started doing now for the start of the larger farming grows, you know, and all of this is great. It's all not happened before because it was so illegal. Now the rules are being lifted a little bit. They're becoming a little bit more available. There's testing available in Europe now for the right money. There's companies in this country that will do testing for you. So it's becoming available. It's not easy. It's not cheap. And again, patients especially need to know what they're taking. So
yeah,
it needs to be more widely available, definitely.
It's really good that people such as yourselves are self-regulating to a high standard in this way of being responsible, getting all of these tests done. I think that's kind of, well, essential to doing it right.
Absolutely. However, not always possible. Because we're such a small group and we have a lot of outgoings and not very much incomings, we can't always afford the things we would want to. We would like to obviously have our own testing equipment so we could test everything, every batch, multiple times. If you haven't stirred your canna butter properly when you're making it, your canna butter could in theory have different layers of THC, to be able to have accurate testing constantly all the time at a price you can afford, or your own testing, would be amazing. And it's what patients need. So at the moment, it's why we feel as a group we're very much on board with pharmaceutical companies producing pharmaceutical cannabis for patients. We just don't think they should control the entire market. There should be a blend of the two.
Spot on. Sounds very sensible to me, yeah. Hope that will be the case.
Maybe in a few years. We'll see. I like everything. They've already got complete control over the cannabis market at the moment. The government and the people who make money out of cannabis at the moment in the UK. And no one wants to give up a monopoly, do they? So we're going to have to fight for every little inch we get, and we'll see how it goes.
Something's going to have to give, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you had trouble from the authorities at all, you know, even in your time, what, in the last 10 years with this Compassion Club?
No, not really. I personally think in the early days, they sent people to the house, and I think maybe back then 5% of the members we helped were probably police officers, maybe lower. You know, I think at times they send people to make sure we're not selling, which is a good, healthy thing to do, I suppose, for them to make sure what's going on. And I personally believe that they choose to ignore us because of the way we do things. I think at any given time, if they wanted to, they could come and stop what we're doing. We're not master criminals by any stretch of the imagination. And I firmly believe they know exactly what we're doing. And I just personally believe we're a scratch that doesn't need scratching until we become too much of a nuisance to them.
Yeah.
And if we do, then our door shall have a knocking on, and I shall have some nice shiny bracelets to wear for a few days. I'm not surprised, but that hasn't happened, touch wood, so far. Because we haven't annoyed the right people yet. But that's not to say it won't happen, you know. If they made cannabis medicinally legal in all its forms, we'd be out. We wouldn't need to do what we do, you know. Would I stop? Probably not. I would then carry on fighting for recreational cannabis, because that's truly in my heart what I believe in. But it would help a lot of people out there. And I don't really think groups like ours are able to help everybody in the country to the level they need it. Not medicinally. I think recreationally, there's enough entrepreneurs in this country who can step up to the mark immediately and sell some lovely bud to the people out there. But medicinally, they need looking after. And it needs to be, you know, unfortunately, GW Pharmaceutical grow houses and, or other companies. Let's hope, you know, there's other companies out there at the moment that do very well in the CBD industry. I don't see any reason we can't support English companies into the medicinal scene.
Yeah.
I don't want to name any, there's too many to name. But there's some really good CBD companies out there. Why shouldn't they be able to supply the NHS cheaper than GW have in Tillery? So
absolutely.
I don't understand why they don't go for licenses. Yes, yeah.
You know, as you say, there are lots of tests to do, but they're available. They can be done. Open up the market and test these different vendors and start to build up data about what's most effective for the patients and let that be the judge of it. I just hope that it can be a reasonable transaction. Now, I don't want the NHS to get ripped off and be
right.
Even more of a strain on them.
Done properly, in my ideal world, the recreational market would support the tail end of the medicinal market. So your people who are in serious life-threatening conditions will always need the NHS. Chronic pain. There's too many conditions to this. But there's an easy grouping of serious medical conditions that medicinal cannabis helps, that I think the NHS probably should and can fund for. And there's a tail end of people who maybe can probably take responsibility for their own conditions and find out what strains and things work best for them.
Yeah.
And maybe can fund their own, you know, either it's through self-grow and buying it from dispensaries or, you know, I don't think everybody should get free weed off the NHS.
That is, yeah, like a spectrum. So yes. Yeah, on one side, you've got the people that have a genuine medical need, And then on the other side of it, the recreational,
yeah.
The beautiful part about that is you could have a certain amount of the tax or some sort of fee for the businesses that are in the recreational profiting from it
yeah.
would go to fund the NHS, buying the drugs for absolutely. People on the other end of the spectrum.
Absolutely, yeah. Recreational should absolutely fund, if not entirely, the medicinal cannabis.
We're going to make that happen.
It would be a great thing to see happen, yeah.
Yeah.
It would be a great thing, that, like all the money that the alcohol and tobacco industries have made over the last 50, 60 years, that, you know, yeah, I'm great. Everyone should make money. I'm not opposed to people making money. Shareholders should make money. Let's all make money. However, it should also be funneled into the things that need money. And the NHS needs money. It doesn't, you know, want money. It needs it for us all to live a very prosperous and lovely society. So that's what I love about this country. You know, an NHS is the most beautiful, free healthcare, the most beautiful thing you can imagine. Yeah. And to try and alter it in a way, anyway, I think is just a nightmare. It's a beautiful thing and it should stay that way. And if stoners like me can fund that, that's amazing too. That would make me feel even better about smoking weed. I would skip along the road knowing that I'm helping all those guys in hospital who really need it. You know, it's a win-win. Like everyone likes to say at the moment with cannabis, it would be a win-win-win.
I hope so. And what do you make of the CBD then? And the, because you know, there's certainly been an influx of, you know, CBD vendors, and there's, you know, there are some great ones out there. I guess the majority of your patients will need THC, or are there some that just go for the CBD on its own?
Yes, yeah. There's some people who come to us for CBD because they can't afford to purchase it on the market at the moment. And it's a bit of a strain because, like, we're busy growing other things at the moment. And I think that's overlooked a little bit. I like the fact that there's so many CBD vendors out there. I think it's a great thing. I think it's got cannabis out there onto shelves. But however, the line that they are having to walk between selling sick people cannabis oil and selling a food supplement is too blurry. And by the very nature of the way the government has forced these CBD sellers to operate, they now are having to sell cannabis oil to sick people, and a lot of them can't afford it. Is it a bit expensive? I think it is probably. Some of the cannabis oil CBD retailers are making a good bit of money. Some of them give back what they make.
Yeah.
I would say that. Some of them are trying their best to do good in the community, which is nice to see.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? They've almost, not by fault of their own, but been backed into a corner,
mm.
which now they desperately want to cling on to. Is they can only legally sell CBD because it's classed as a food supplement, but as a stipulation of that, you can't make medical claims about a food supplement. So there's a whole load of stuff that comes with that for a company to adhere to it, right? Like no medicinal claims. There's a very narrow window of stuff they can say to market their product. But now they're in the predicament that, as you say, lots of people are using this medicinally, but they can't acknowledge it. But if they do, or like, you know, it becomes a medicine, then the likelihood is they may not be able to sell that anymore.
Well, I think really they're going to be able to sell their food supplement, which is what really originally they were supposed to, and the NHS will start prescribing. So a lot of these big companies are worried they're going to lose a large chunk of their business, and they should be. They're gonna, when the NHS is allowed to prescribe CBD, a lot of people who were buying CBD from these companies are now going to get free CBD and not have to. So a large part of their market is going to be cut. And probably rightly so. However, I don't see why the government can't let those companies in. A lot of these companies are fly-by-night and are no good. They're just making stuff in the back gardens just the same as we are.
Yeah.
A lot of these companies are very good. And they have good equipment in. They have good labs. And they are trying to do everything by the book, and they should probably throw them a bone and let them in.
What should people look for then if there's people out there that are ill and not getting what they need from their healthcare system? Because you're right, there's there's a lot of scams out there and unscrupulous people. How can people, especially if they've got no prior knowledge of cannabis?
Well, right, the only people selling top-notch stuff in the UK, and there is a few selling cannabis oil in the UK. Not right. There's people out there screaming scammers. Yeah, and there is scammers out there, I have no doubt, but there's not that many. And really, there's other vendors screaming scammers the loudest, you'll find. Because they want their product to be the only product that's allowed out, and their product to be the only product people are interested in buying.
Yeah.
But, as a cannabis oil customer at the moment, you have to be careful. But it's available. There's companies in Spain that will send stuff over here. There's companies in Canada that will send you stuff over here for the right price. Illegal products, but these are legal companies in their own right, in their own country. So the products are sound. And if you've got the money, I would suggest to anyone who can to buy those products. They're good products. And if you believe they'll help you for your ailment, then all the best. But really, we fight for, like I said, all the people who can't afford it at the moment. You know, all the people who are on benefits and can't afford £1,500 on cannabis oil a month. They're the people we're helping at the moment. And we're happy to. As I said, I'm happy to help anyone because I'm high all the time. It's always a little bit weird when people walk out of the house without giving me any money with loads of cannabis, but you get used to that. Smoke another joint.
Well, man, it's a very worthy cause. I'm glad you do it. Keep fighting the good fight. And, you know, I'm glad you can do it and have a great life here. You know, you can invite me into your home with your lovely dogs and family.
No worries at all. It's been an absolute pleasure having you.
Thanks, dude.
All right, man. Take it easy.